There's a few Transformers that I would like to get. I mean, if you look at my office, it's getting a little bit cluttered.
Right.
So, you know, certain things I want to get, and not too much, because I had, like, all of them. My grandmother used to right. give me, like, I had the full G1, Generation 1.
See, the G1 set are cool. Last time we were sorting all these, we had, I want to say, all together was about 60 of them. We were sorting, trying to figure out which ones were, you know, complete, had all the pieces. Mm-hmm. And some of the newer ones, I have no idea how they're made for children, because I couldn't get them back together. It was so difficult trying to get them to lock back in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I got to confess something. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I don't talk about it too much. But when I was a kid, initially, until I didn't have a choice, I was very much Team GoBot. And I was actually a GoBot kid.
Right.
Until I had to switch to, I had no choice, because they stopped making the damn GoBots. And I had to go with the Transformers. And I think the main reason why, because we couldn't afford Transformers when I was little. But the GoBots we could get, and these were the two that I had.
Oh, those nice.
But they sucked. They had like two sets of articulation, and that's it.
That was the only thing about GoBots, because a lot of times they looked really cool, but they, like,
you could do anything. It was real stiff.
They just folded over. Yeah, I had this guy Thrust. I just realized that we're being listened to, so let me say hello to everybody. Hey guys, this is Scary Dad Podcast episode 6, and in today's episode we're going to be talking about quite a few things, but the main topic is going to be 80s toys, devil worship, and heavy metal. So strap in. As we speak this moment, I'm a little under the weather, and you can tell I got a little rasp in my voice, so Scotty here might have to chime in a little bit more.
I will do my best.
But he brought over a box of old Transformers, and we are trying to figure out if we remember how they go. So, you say, wait a second. I'm a little confused about your episode podcast lineup. What's up, episode 6? You were in very special episode 3 last time. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you what happened. I recorded a few standalone episodes before then the site kind of went defunct, went dark, and whenever we brought it back live, I kind of mentally just started at number 1, but I knew that there was others there. Well, when I was trying to get the podcast directory set up, it was flipping out because my numbering was off, so I ended up having to go back and renumber everything and then kind of get us back to the real numbers. So this is, in fact, episode 6 of the Scary Dad Podcast. And what does that mean for you? Well, really what it means is that I'm going to be able to get us listed on hosting sites such as iTunes and Spreaker faster, because there's more episodes than we've actually done in this new series. So a lot of expansion coming your way. Keep a look at the blog. We'll keep you posted. So that's what's going on. So, Mr. Scott, how have you been?
I have been extraordinarily busy. lots of long days and lots of playing with a bunch of toys. Got a new collection that I'm working with. And like I said a little while ago, I had 4 boxes of loose 80s Transformers, G.I. Joes, and He-Man I had to go through last night. And I got ended up at one point. I went outside and I reached in my pocket, and it was full of little itty bitty plastic guns that I had found laying around all over the place.
Nice.
And I bet I pulled some out right now. Actually, I think about it, because I think I grabbed Doom and the Punisher's pistols a little while ago. There's Doom's gun right there, as a matter of fact. So yeah, it's been a busy but fun few days this week.
That's awesome. Seen any good movies lately?
No, but I did recently go to the Arcade Expo in Houston.
Okay, how
was which that? Was an absolute blast. I go every year. I have a really, really good time. Anybody in the Houston area or even outside of the Houston area, my cousin drove down from Louisiana from it, and he did a day trip, and he let me know this morning that he's going to be coming for the entire weekend next year.
Oh, cool.
And he's planning on doing the pinball tournament and everything else, because they do have an open pinball tournament. Just go sign up in the morning and play on through, and in his words, the people seem to suck, so he's going to go ahead and enter it because he's not scared now. So.
Right. Hey, all in good fun.
Right? But it was a blast, man. Most of the machines were broken because I kept dying. I can't explain it any other way. I knew I used to be able to play Dragon's Lair a lot better than I did that weekend. So, but it's been good. That was a real good time, and just been hanging in there, ready for the winter.
Speaking of the old video games, are you looking into getting one of those NES, the re-release, the NES Classic emulators?
Yeah, but I'm gonna wait till the madness dies down. I'm starting to think that all this the madness with scalpers and everything is actually a plot done by the video game companies themselves.
It's always that way.
Because they started a trend. You know, the first wave, scalpers go in and sell them for a bunch of money. And then other people want to make the same money. So the second wave, they sell out again. Mm-hmm. And the third wave, they're going to just release a whole bunch for Christmas and devalue the market. And you'll have a whole bunch of toy stores that are stuck with a whole lot of NES systems
They might not even do it for Christmas. I mean, I think this all started with like the Tickle Me Elmo back in the day.
Cabbage Patch. That was the original one.
But you know, you're telling me that you've got an international corporation. Nintendo's been around since like the late 1800s. You don't think that they know precisely how many of these things they want to sell?
Yeah.
They know.
They know what the demand's going to be from market trends and research.
So my thought is, you know, I don't have time to play video games anyway because I'm running a podcast. So once it comes out in the wash, I'll go get it. But awesome, man, awesome. Well, like I said, man, we are going to be talking about a few interesting things. We were going to talk about something else entirely, and then neither one of us did the right research. We both researched the next episode thinking it was this episode, and neither one of us actually researched this episode. So we scrapped this episode, renamed it, and now we're sitting here with a table full of toys from the 80s.
Yes. So, what was your big toy in, let's say, the fifth grade? I know what mine was.
Okay, so I can go back, and I can almost run a perfect timeline, basically. So my parents... My family lived here in Houston, and then in the early 80s, when I was 6 years old, we moved down to Portland, Texas, right outside of Corpus Christi. And it hadn't been long that we'd lived there, and I remember waking up, turning on Saturday morning cartoons, pouring my cereal, sitting down in my little tighty-whitey underwear, and a badass commercial came on, and the theme of the commercial was, He-Man, He-Man. He-Man. And I thought he said Key Man. So when my parents woke up, I just told them that I had to have Key Man. And I think this was in the summertime. So, you know, of course, I got a He-Man and I got a Skeletor and, mm-hmm. you know, something else. By Christmas, I had them all because every family member, my mom was just like, you know, if you're trying to get him presents, all he wants is Masters of the Universe. So, man, I had Castle Grayskull and
awesome,
the whole run.
What was your favorite guy?
Of course, He-Man.
Okay.
Down the line. See, I always have a tendency to like the bad guys more mm-hmm. just because they're like either a cool color of blue or, you know, whatever. But with He-Man, I always dug.
Yeah. Battle Cat was cool, too. What an awesome form of mode of transportation.
Right.
You know, a giant green tiger. It was awesome. And, you know, fifth grade, for me, I remember the He-Man craze was so strong at that point. And I was way into them. In my yearbook for the fifth grade, there's a picture of all the boys from school holding their He-Man. They let us bring them to school. They told us to bring them to school. We're going to take a picture. And we all have our He-Man we're playing with. So, but yeah, it was we were He-Man frenzy, that's for sure.
And you know exactly the moment the He-Man frenzy died? Was when they changed He-Man.
Yeah.
They made him skinny and look like David Bowie or something, or Flash Gordon. And it's like, everybody was like, okay, I'm done. It's time to start looking at girls.
He-Man was all the characters, man. The movie I didn't care for too much with Dolph Lundgren because they didn't have Orko in it. Orko was a staple. He had to be in that movie. That screwed the whole thing up.
Well, the funny thing was, you know, we lived in Corpus, and I don't know. I could have been lied to, but this was in the days before. I mean, we didn't have cable until later, and it's very possible. But we didn't get an affiliate that actually played the He-Man cartoons down there.
Okay.
So we'd come up here like every month or two and visit my grandmother, and there was like one black and white TV off in the other room that I could catch, and it was like on channel 26. And I remember watching He-Man cartoons and. Mattress Mack commercials and the Texas Hammer, Jim Adler.
Jim Adler, yeah.
You know, the Texas like 30 years ago, that dude was hammering away.
It was funny you mentioned that they didn't have any syndication over there. The funniest story I have about that, in Lafayette, Louisiana, when I was living there, South Park had just came out. And there was no Comedy Central allowed in Lafayette, Louisiana. So you couldn't, none of us had watched it before. So this guy came up with the brilliant idea. He was going to sell bootleg tapes of South Park out of his record store.
Nice.
And I bought every single one that he had. I still have one of them to this day. I have the VHS tape. And what was funny is he'd make these copies, and he was lazy, so he would be late in pausing it for the commercials, and then he'd be late starting it back up once the commercials ended. So he didn't do any other editing other than that. And he just went ahead and made copies from it. So, but we bought him, and then he got arrested. He got busted.
For some
bootleg South Park videos, man.
You're talking about the pausing.
Yeah.
So, same thing, like... I wrote something actually for another blog, but it was talking about Jaws, right? So I actually saw the Jaws movies in reverse, because when we finally did get cable, there was two things that was on that I wanted to see. And the one was Jaws 3. Like, that had just hit HBO, and when we got cable, it was on. And then there was like Porky's Revenge, so I wanted to see some boobs. So I was like all about it, right?
I had the box set of that at home, dude.
I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I'm all like, yeah. So, but yeah, dude. So like, I saw Jaws 3. It was the first Jaws movie I watched, and I don't think I, you know, of course, I didn't quite realize. I knew it was obviously part 3, but I didn't realize like it was a standalone movie. It was fine, right? So then my dad recorded Jaws 2 for me off of late night television, like move, you know, mm-hmm. And same thing. He recorded and he like paused it for the commercials and he likes for the, so like the first half is like perfectly edited. And then you saw where he got tired and went to bed. It's like the second half is full of commercials. But
I bet seeing the third one first, it really lowered your expectations to where number one was just amazing.
You know what it was that whenever I saw the second one, the opening scene of Jaws 2. There's two divers that dive to the orca that sunk in the Amity Bay from the first one. And for me, that was like archaeology. So like, I didn't understand like what's the significance of this boat. And my dad's like, oh, well, that's the ship that got, that's a boat that got sunk in the first one. And it was like, well, now you're talking, because that is like, that's like a mystery. That's means something.
Right.
This is significant in a, you know. So, but yeah. So when I saw the first one, of course, I was already used, because the kill count in the second and third ones are pretty high compared to the first one.
Oh yeah, but very much so.
But like we were talking in the one, you know, the previous episode about gore, is the fear factor in the first one is so much more.
Yeah.
Like.
Just, yeah, the...
You know, you've got that one guy in the first one who, like, nobody dies. He just, the shark takes the bait and pulls the dock down, and the dude's swimming for shore. Right. That's scarier than either of the other two movies combined.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The fear factor was definitely there. Just that terror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you were saying, there's hardly any gore, any blood or anything. I mean, till the end of the movie, you almost wonder if it was supposed to be a scary movie.
Right.
You know, because it's more like a drama.
You know, it's full suspense. But yeah, so... But, so yeah, He-Man was the bomb. Then, you know, I guess the second, well, the primary favorite was going to be G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, once G.I. Joe came along, the way it was articulated, all the different characters and accessories, the television show, the whole
works. Yeah, such a range of motion with them and everything.
There was so much more you could do with G.I. Joe than with He-Man. But, you know, there's that special place in my heart for the...
He-Man. Man, every time I go through a collection of He-Man, I just... Clawful was, like, one of my favorite ones.
I like that guy.
Mossman was pretty cool, too. It just... I always look for my favorites. Orko always... You know, I got to play with him for a little while.
I think it's a little funny that they used patchouli to scent stinkor. So, yes. Like, all these kids growing up, like, smell hippies. And they're like, oh, God, you smell like the skunk guy from He-Man. Those plants right there are patchouli plants, by the way. I got one at the garden center as a novelty and cultivated.
Man, I don't remember Transformers things to be this damn hard.
Dude, it's only hard the first couple of times.
My favorite one that you're not going to steal from me, Shockwave. That's the easiest one to transform.
Oh, the gun?
No.
Soundwave.
Soundwave, sorry.
Yeah, Shockwave was the gun.
Which I got to fix him. Something's wrong with him. He's got a piece missing, I think.
Yeah, my brother-in-law has a Walther P-38, an actual gun. And I want it just because it looks like Megatron.
I got the Megatron. It was in a Ziploc bag, and all the parts are there. But I might bring it to you to see if you can remember how the hell to put the thing back together.
I can give it a shot. So yeah, you know, got the He-Man. The second, you know, the next one I was going to say with, you know, obviously G.I. Joe, but G.I. Joe is not. G.I. Joe was very patriotic. There wasn't much scary about G.I. Joe, except for Dr. Mindbender or Serpentor. But
didn't you go to Renfest recently?
Oh, a couple weeks ago, yeah. Always try to make it out there at least once a year.
I haven't been in years. I need to go. I got some tickets right now. I better hurry up and go before the end.
Yeah. Probably Thanksgiving is going to be a nice day that Friday.
Yeah, I'll be home by myself anyway, so it might be cool if I'm ready to go.
But yeah, so along with the 80s toys also came the...
The
witch hunt.
Yes. Everything was evil. Let's try to blame... Things that go wrong, we need to blame it on something. You know? I think I mentioned to you before, you know, my hometown was one of the cities that Geraldo showed up at. He sent a crew down to try to find Satanism. Because somebody had reported in the old sugar mill smokestacks, people were meeting and they had pentagrams written everywhere. And that's pretty much the extent of my hometown as far as the Satanist...
people are scared.
Yeah, but it's just they. Everybody was hearing what was going on in other parts of the country. They didn't want to come in our small town, so it was pretty nuts. But I was one of those kids that was, you know, turning the record backwards, trying to see if I heard anything.
That was what was so strange. And we were talking about it before we started the recorder. Is, you know, same thing. You know, living in Corpus, small town. You know, we were kind of, you know, involved in the church, never like too crazy, but just like, you know, you go to church on Sunday and they have like a, you know, potluck or whatever on Wednesday or something, you know, so not, I mean, we were involved, but it wasn't like we were like super religious or whatever.
Right. Nobody was a lay minister in your family.
But God, I remember because I was actually went to a little Christian school and they showed us a video of like the, you know, the horrors of heavy metal and how you're going to get sucked into it. And it's like, and the messed up part about it was, you know, and dude, like, I'm not any smarter than anybody else. I mean, well, I am a little smarter than some, but, you know, I'm sitting here watching this thing, and I'm, like, 8 years old, and I'm, like, supposed to be terrified, but instead of terrified, I'm like, this is awesome. Like, those guys, like, I saw through it. It's like, I saw through corporate nihilism early on. It's like, these guys dress up in funny clothes, they play guitars, and they get girls, and I want to be that guy. And I swear, dude, like, that never went away. Like, I was talking to my buddy about Guns N' Roses, right? When Guns N' Roses first came out, their music was awesome, but I liked their look, too. It's like, these guys are cool. Mm-hmm. Just a dark underbelly of society. Like, these guys are cool. And so then whenever Patience came out, mm-hmm. the impression that I got, and it stuck in my head, and it's still to this day, is, like, this is what cool guys do when they're chilling out. Like, when you're tired of rocking, you kick back and you play whistle. Mellow. And you let snakes crawl in your bed and you get chicks to come over. Like, you know.
It was funny about that. Wasn't their first tour with Bon Jovi?
I think it was with Van Halen or something.
Because I remember them coming to Louisiana. I could have sworn they were opening for Bon Jovi. I'm not sure. I remember when they come, because I was like in the ninth grade, and there was a girl bragging about being a groupie that night and going to the back. I'm like, you're 14, they should go to jail.
Right. Yeah, right.
But yeah, the music was funny how they were just, but you know, a lot of the bands, they were kind of feeding into that.
Well, of course.
They just to get that shock and, you know, get the kids rebelling against their parents and wanting to do the things they're not supposed to do.
Well, there were like, you know, let's call it like the hair metal bands like Poison and Quiet Riot, okay, they're dressed up professional musicians. They're dressed up virtuosos singing love songs. because singing songs to Satan does not sell records and doesn't get you on the radio.
Right.
There are and were and always will be some legitimately satanic bands, but you know what they weren't doing?
Making money.
They weren't making money. Yep. They weren't going to small town USA and like Pied Pipering their kids away. You know, I remember, like, you know, same thing with, like, toys, like Skeletor. Like, there's this YouTube video you can probably Google on you, or, you know, like, hit up a search on YouTube and, like, type in, like, He-Man and the Devil or something like that. And there's, like, this preacher that, it's funny because he's playing with He-Man guys. Like, he's explaining to the preacher about how these toys are evil. But he's introducing them and he's going stuff like, well, this is Skeletor, and he lives in Snake Mountain, and blah, blah, blah. And it looks like he's just having a blast playing with these toys. It's like, he's not really demonizing them as much as you think he is, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're watching this in a kid, you're like, dude, he's got Beast Man. I want the, you know, like, with the blue shoulder pads. Like, mine are red. I want that variant. Like, you know, you're not thinking it, like...
See, I never had any issues with the toys or anything. You know, music, yeah. You know, that would come up. I remember started listening to metal, like good metal, about ninth grade. You know, away from mainstream, just kind of, you know, the independent stuff. And people were just coming out. And I remember my friend Thomas brought a tape for me at my house. And it was by a band, I think it was Misotheism or some shit like that. And he told me immediately, he was like, their name means hatred for the Pope. And I was like, cool, I'm going to check them out. And I never even got a chance to listen to the tape. And my mom came home and found a cassette. On the cover, there were some people dragging the Pope to the gallows.
Oh, no.
And yeah, she threw it out of the house. She actually opened the door and threw it into the driveway and did not even want it in the house after that. So that was one of my experiences with my mom overreacting to the satanic trend in music.
Well, yeah, and like my dad got caught up on the wrong side whenever I was coming up. All this nonsense was happening. It was Def Leppard was what was popular. That was what was on the radio. And, you know, dude, I'm a teenager, so I'm listening to like all that hair metal that's coming out on the radio in like 1986 and 7 and 8. So okay. You're talking like Poison
Motley Crue
and
Skid Row was about that time.
You know, Skid Row is a little bit later.
Yeah, you're right.
Skid Row is a little contemporary with GNR.
Yeah,
because GNR changed everything.
Yeah, GNR, they did.
GNR made everything. GNR took everything that was campy and funky about mainstream metal and turned it legit by telling that bitch to fuck off in the second song. that hit me like right there, like a punch in the face. I'm like, dude, you can't say that. But you said it. That means you're awesome. But no, so, it's like talking teeny bopper music for teen, you know, like just music for kids. Well, even like now, old guys like us are gonna sit there and talk about like the music they make for teenagers and stuff.
Right? Yeah, it was like the generation.
Kids' music sucks, dude. It's all the same. It's like, it speaks to them right now because it's made for them right now. It doesn't speak to us because it's written for 14-year-old girls. But, yeah, Poison songs were written for 14-year-old girls, not nihilistic satanic boys, because they don't buy records. And especially not if they're going to go kill themselves. Like, that's not a long-term customer. That's not a nostalgia-buying
40-something. No joke. You have plans for your future there. But you know what's funny is I think it was the beginning of the 12th grade where, you know, Guns N' Roses wasn't heavy for me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted real music. And I was into Sepultura and a few other bands.
Oh, yeah.
And, my friend Thomas came up. Might have been 11th grade. My friend Thomas came to my house once again, the same guy that tried to get me to hate the Pope. And he had another tape. And like I said, I didn't want to listen to glam rock, none of that crap. And I looked at the tape, and it was some guys, it was a black and white picture, some guys in a Western bar, and I was like, dude, I'm not listening to this glam rock bullshit. And it was Cowboys from Hell from Pantera.
Nice.
And, you know, once I popped it in, I have not stopped listening to it since then. Yeah, that's my band.
It's
a Pantera band.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, what's funny is, like, so my dad, not, you know, he's kind of having a cow over Def Leppard. And, you know, to be fair, Def Leppard did something. Because they got one member that dead and one member that got his arm ripped off and they're still hopping. So they sold something to somebody.
Yeah.
But
you're still hopping in a big way too.
But no, so my dad's like, I'm sort of, you know, like, dad forced Def Leppard into the underground, right? I'm like, stupid. I mean, I don't want to harp on my dad, but like, he just didn't pick the right battle in that one. All he did was make me love him more. And
yeah, you don't know that. I saw him in Vegas a few years ago. He's still doing very well.
The messed up part was they're so, I mean, I guess in a nostalgic way, I kind of appreciate him now, but I would have been so over it by the end of that summer if he wouldn't have just, like, right. You know what I mean? But,
like I said, he told me, he's like,
you know that, like, one of the guys from Def Leppard, he lives in the house of the High Witch in England. And come to find out, that wasn't the guy from Def Leppard. That was Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, who bought Aleister Crowley's house in England, who dad was telling me not to listen to that stupid devil music and listen to some good old classic rock. Like
some Led Zeppelin.
Like some Led Zeppelin. And I'm like, I didn't know any better. I'm like, Led Zeppelin's cool too, whatever, you know. Be honest, I, you know. I was never as much of a Zeppelin fan as I liked Ozzy. Yeah. But that was another thing. Was, you know,
Zeppelin has some good classic tracks, though.
Zeppelin's got good songs that get played way too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say overrated.
You got to go deep tracks on Zepp.
Yeah.
But no, like, the legitimate, like, occult-searching band members were not even in that band. You know.
It reminds me of that scene in Little Nicky where they're saying, you know, how can we play records backwards? We can't hear anything. And he's like, you're playing the wrong ones. And he grabs the Boston album and he plays it backwards.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a thing. Like, yeah. Exactly what I was saying. It's like the Nihilists, they're not selling records. It's the,
right.
You know. But, oh, shit, what was I going
to
say?
We need a good rock bar in Houston.
The Dirt bar's not bad. What do you mean, the Dirt? But they're not a live music.
Well, yeah, I saw some good live rock at Acadia Bar and Grill one day in 1960, but it's too far from my house.
Yeah, that's a problem with growing up and moving out to the burbs. But
yeah,
I was going to say that you mentioned Sepultura. That was another one, their imagery looks dark and demonic.
Oh, the sound.
The sound is dark and demonic. The lyrics are broken English political words.
Yeah.
I love them to death. I've got like four of their albums.
Roots is awesome.
I'm the guy that drives the Nissan Pathfinder down my suburban street with my kid in the back seat, trying to jam into Sepultura. Like, same thing with Pantera, you know? I got a video of my daughter, 5 years old, in the back seat, you know, just jamming away. We get home, I'm like, she's sitting there kicking around on the couch watching My Little Pony. I'm like, hey baby, what's the guy on the Monster song say? She's like, it's time to rise, rise, rise. I'm like,
that's awesome. Girl. I live across the street from Pentecostal church, and every once in a while I pull up, you know, jam and walk from Pantera, and they're all outside, you know, in the parking lot. I get a few stares when that happens. Can't help it though. But my daughter, I'm very proud of her. She finally got to where she could sing the chorus of Institutionalized by Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, that's a long thing.
Daddy's been doing it for a long time, and now she can. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, mine are coming up. My 3-year-old, she likes the Stay Away by Nirvana.
Okay.
So it'll come on, she's in the back seat singing, you know, stay away, stay away, stay away. And then today is Master of Puppets. She's back there like, Master, Master. Both of them are just like, like, okay. Y'all are going to be either grow up really cool, or you're going to realize at like 14 that dad's not cool and start listening to some like.
Well, there comes a time, like my son, he kind of veered off and started listening to primarily hip hop. And then my daughter, she's at a point where Panic at the Disco is her favorite band. But I've always tried to teach them, you know, there's qualities in every kind of music. Don't just, you know, focus on one type. Then you can enjoy all kinds of music. So.
Exactly. So what are we going to do with all these Transformers, dude?
You're going to put them all back together, suck a load of them in a box, and bring them.
Damn, we made a mess. So, hey, I think we're probably going to cut this one short. Hey, you know, 80s hair metal, Satan, and toys. This is like an endless discussion. So if you want to chime in, hit us up in the comments. We can do another episode on this in the future. In fact, I fully want to.
If any of you out there were in GoBots and were Team GoBot initially, chime in so I don't feel as though I'm alone. Please.
And like I said, this is episode 6. We got a new episode going to be starting to hit every single Monday, with occasional micro episodes hitting on other days kind of at random. So hey, you might get a week with 3 episodes, and then a couple weeks with just 1 episode each. Mr. Scott here is going to buy his own little rig, and at some point in the future I'm going to upgrade mine so that I can do phone interviews. Little bit of housekeeping, little bit of news. Right now I am working to get us listed on the podcast, podcast sites like iTunes and stuff. There's a whole lot of learning that I need to do as far as like the proper way to get it listed so it stays listed. It's going to take me a few days, but hopefully by the time episode 7 and or 8 come out, it should be good to go. So continue to download, continue to share. We'll let you subscribe as soon as we are able, and we'll let you know. And with that, stay scary, man.
Yes, indeed. You guys stay scary. Talk to you soon.